Welcome back to Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast with employment tropes and annoying jokes. I am Phil, who is the guest of this episode. But as always, we got Paul, we got Adrian. Let's get to Big Fact in and let's get to no capping.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Happy almost 2026. We got two more days of 2025.
Yeah, you guys gotten your glasses yet? Your 2026 glasses?
Nah. I lost my prescription. Wait, Adrian, can you please go into the office your first day with 2026 glasses and say they're your new prescription? Dude, you will automatically be the funny guy. Please do this. You're starting a job at the perfect time, right after New Year's. You
is
get the hat.
That's what I want to be. Is I want to be the funny guy in the office.
We're gonna make
it
you the funny guy.
It does feel like you're. I don't know how big your department is. My instinct is that it's probably not too many people. I like the idea that you wouldn't be the funny guy, that you've got to battle it out for this designation.
Ooh, oh, yeah. I appreciate the confidence.
You walk in and he's already wearing the 2026 glasses, and you are, and y'all both just stare at each other, trying to get out the joke first.
He's like, well, that's awkward.
It's my prescription. It's my prescription. Y'all have any New Year's resolutions?
Not really.
No resolutions. How about you, Paul?
No.
Damn, nothing.
It's been to be able to do a handstand too many years in a row where it's starting to feel embarrassing, so I can't make it that again.
Wait, what was the qualification? Like, how long did you need to keep it?
Even millisecond. He couldn't even, doesn't even know where to start.
I think you could do that, yeah.
I think my body would have to be perfectly straight for at least a second.
You ain't ever perfectly straight. Come on now.
Come on now. You know I'm LGBTQ.
Not even for
a
second.
No, the joke I was making was I was really embarrassed at pickup soccer this Sunday because I was back to being out of shape. And I was like, I want to be just not the worst player at pickup this year. And I was like, that is very easy. I could just bring somebody worse than me. But I think the spirit behind the goal is for me to get better. But technically, that is a resolution I can make happen kind of anytime.
Yeah.
I believe what about you,
Phil? I'm going to get a six-pack this year. It's going to happen.
Ooh, six-pack of beer. Come on now.
Come on now.
Adrian, stop looking for loopholes in New Year's resolutions. I don't
Yeah, tell your personal trainer, I'm gonna get a six-pack this year.
I like that you're like a genie trying to figure out how to fuck a guy. Why do genies want to fuck people? Like, they have the magic. They could just be cool about it. They could give you your wish without it being like...
Well, I don't want to educate you on your own culture, but aren't they djinns? Aren't they kind of like in the lore mischievous kind of little fuckers?
You're thinking of the those really old people, djinnies. Genies, Gen E, like several Gen Zs, they're like way before them.
Is that how you thought generations worked?
Yeah, they go alphabetical, and we skipped a lot of letters, but they're used to
be. A lot of letters, but they're old.
Do y'all have any New Year's plans? Well, no, Paul, you do, right? You and Izzy are going somewhere.
Yeah.
Songbird, we're giving out your assassination coordinates.
There, you know what? That is the thing where like a lot of New Year's parties do have themes, and the one down the street at Savage Craft is the 70s, 80s theme. It's like late 70s, early 80s theme.
That's a lot. That covers a lot. Oh, okay.
It
is.
Songbird did have a theme. I forgot what it was. Last year, it was Indie Sleaze.
What's the dress code for Indie Sleaze? Is that just how I dress? I dress kind of sleazy.
Indie Sleaze is like the 2000s type of indie. Maybe what you would think of like as hipster, I think.
Oh, okay. Kind of stuff you would get at the mall. Maybe?
Yeah. Like girls in black tights and like a more messy sort of look.
Okay.
Oh, honey, you are messy enough already. You didn't need to cosplay that.
Did y'all ever get anything from Hot Topic?
Yeah.
No.
They sold banties.
Oh, yeah, they did sell banties. Yeah, yeah, that's a good stop and shop.
Got a Breaking Benjamin shirt there once and maybe a couple of other things. Yeah, a couple things here and there.
I only got into it once I could get my Rick and Morty stuff from there.
Oh, nice.
I got an I Wrestled a Bear One shirt there. Classic.
I did get a Kid Cudi shirt from there once. What was that Kid Cudi album where it's like, it's not Man on the Moon. Maybe it was Indica. Was that the one with him with like the suits on and he's like in his seat and he looks kind of slouched?
Oh, I know that one. I don't remember what that one was called though.
Hey, speaking of album covers, I am currently trying to figure out what I want to make the cover of my album, which is done as of yesterday. So if y'all have any ideas, yeah, please just spew them out. Anybody chat, go off chat, let me know what you want me to do. I haven't really thought of too many great ideas yet, so I'm kind of open to anything. Is there anything I could do with, like, maybe the aftermath of me quote-unquote killing on stage, and maybe I'm like a homicide detective or something?
It's a bunch of dead people in seats.
And then I'm just crying like, what did I do? I didn't think this was real. For some reason, I like the idea of me like in full custodian outfit, like mopping up something, maybe mopping up blood, and maybe it just says like the rap
that
game sound, on
that
it.
Seems Eminem coded. Doesn't he have somewhere he does that?
The Slim Shady LP, he had his dead wife in the trunk of his car, but I don't think he's ever like mopped up blood or anything like that. That's crazy to like to do that with they were still married at the time, and like I know it's like art and stuff, but like those conversations had to be so awkward with him and his wife when he comes home. Like, hey, I saw the album cover. The fuck was up with that? We good?
The fuck was up with that?
Are we good?
Isn't that famously part of one of the lawsuits where she said he performed Kim while she was in the audience once and said that that was like him harassing her or intimidating her or something?
I mean, honestly, that's a good argument for a lawyer, because if you just make a song about somebody, you could probably stretch your way and be like, oh, it's art or whatever like that, or it's not about her. But
if you
name the song Kim and then she's in the audience and you're saying that's your wife, I don't know. It's kind of hard to.
No. You're talking about Kim Kardashian.
Oh, he was also maybe
famous hot girl.
Hot girl. Kim Kardashian just got backlash for getting all of her children a puppy for Christmas. PETA called them out for me, like, you should get like a shelter dog instead, except for five brand new purebred.
Wait, how
puppies.
Did they know that they were purebred? Oh, okay, never mind.
I think they were just very obviously pure. I mean, they all looked the exact same, and I think they were all like little like poodles or like Yorkies or something.
So PETA said the dogs were too hot. They were like, the dogs.
They can't be as hot as you. That's their exact words.
They were sliding in her DMs while trying to call her out.
Yeah, they're like, hey, man, those dogs are pretty hot, kind of like you, low-key.
You pull up. Come on, get them dogs back. And then come
you got 24 hours, hit me back where I'm going to tweet about you. It's going to get bad.
I do want to do my media roundup. Shout out to my number one movie of the year, probably Twinless. If you haven't watched it yet, suggest checking it out. It's a great movie.
Okay. Paul, what you got?
I think I talked about it on previous episodes, but I watched the Creed movies with my dad over the winter holidays. And when we got to the end of the third Creed movie, which, man, what a fall off in quality after the first Creed. The Creed 2 and Creed 3 are like, they're not bad movies, but much weaker. And then when we got to the end of the third Creed movie and the credits started, my dad like turns to me, he's like, Michael Jordan was in that movie? Where? And I was like, no, Michael B. Jordan. He's been the star of all of them. And I thought that was a fun moment. That was the highlight of Creed 3.
Nice. Isn't that the same for the Rocky movies, though, that the sequels were bad, or do people not say that?
I think Rocky is one of those things where it's like The Godfather, where they're like, oh, the second or like the third one is the best. The Godfather is like the third one is the best?
Second.
No, the second one.
Second one? And the third one's like really bad?
I think people still like it.
Oh, Roy. One battle after another, I finally watched that. I loved it. I think the soundtrack was kind of slept on. I don't think anybody's talking about it. I love it. I've been listening to it a lot in the car.
Partly shot in Sacramento.
Really?
Johnny Greenwood of Radiohead.
Wait, he's in the soundtrack?
I think he did the whole soundtrack.
Oh, that's cool. Heck yeah.
I mean, I guess other than like pop song, needle drops, but...
Because they had like a good Jackson 5 song in there. I'm like, oh, I haven't heard that song in a while. I'm like, oh, this is a great song. And it fit with the movie.
Dude, shout out Marty Supreme. That had a great soundtrack.
Oh,
although,
yeah?
There was that one song that played during some of the really tense parts that sounded like the bass line from Unholy, that song with Kim Petras and Sam Smith. But other than that.
I did watch Marty Supreme, and I really liked it. And the only thing I have to add to, I think you gave it a very positive review last time, Adrian. The only thing I had to add was that it unlocked a new fear of mine, which is a bathtub falling on me in a hotel from the floor above.
Ooh,
and crushing me to
no
death.
No spoilers, but yeah.
And then I watched What Doesn't Kill You. I like those movies. It's a very like niche genre of crime thrillers where it's like it's a movie that is set in Boston and it's very gritty. It's just a crime thriller, and it seems like both of them are just petty thieves, or anybody in there are just like petty thieves, you know? There's barely like anybody like like morally good in the movie. So I like those movies a lot. I like the vibe of it. A classic example is like The Departed or The Town. The Town, which is like
The Departed.
The Departed. The Town is definitely my favorite movie, I would think. I watched it for the first time like 2 years ago, and I'm like, oh my God, this slaps. I love this genre. But my only critique for these movies is that anytime they portray Boston, they make it seem so depressing. And it's like, because it's a very like grayish picture, you know? And I mean, I'm sure Pierce will correct me on this because he's from Boston, but they really do make Boston just look like
he's
a run.
He's from Medford. He's not from Boston.
Oh, okay.
Or
so
Hartford or whatever the stupid suburb is.
Oh, okay. So it's like they have colors over there, right? But when they drive through Boston,
they have no colors over there. That's part of why they like to be there.
But yeah, you can never tell in the movie if it's like 2 p.m. on a hot summer day or like midnight on like the harshest winter storm night ever. But either way, they're just outside throwing a football with their kid. And then after that, they're like ripping a line of coke and then they're robbing some old lady at a bank. It's a very depressing movie genre to watch, but I love it. I love it a lot. I guess Good Will Hunting is the only exception to that. That's the only movie I've seen that's set in Boston that doesn't have a dreary theme to it.
That's what you meant. I thought you meant you didn't like it.
Good Will Hunting. All right, y'all boys want to get into this theme, Aruno?
Yeah, let's do it, brother.
All right, the theme is jobs, office jobs particularly, or just jobs in general?
I guess so.
Office jobs.
No, I've had a job.
Office space.
Getting before. Money for the first time in your life.
Or earning money in a respectable way.
Yeah.
Not being a broke bitch.
Yeah, getting money without selling your ass on the streets. No, those are jobs as well. We respect all type of workers here at Big Facts No Cap. But yeah, the theme today is jobs because our young boy Adrian got a state job for California working in pesticide regulation. Let's give it up.
Yeah, go ahead and just give up all my information. Go ahead and tell them where I'm going to be.
He's going to be at Building 3, Suite 122. His desk will be the one with the extra small condoms on it and a little bowl as if he's giving it away like he has too much, like he pre-ordered way too much. But nobody ever takes them because nobody has that small of a penis. So he's going to be there. And the pest that he's regulating are his little peckers. So that's... Sorry for giving out too much information. No, that's not his real job. We'll keep his real job under wraps because it's also working. It's campaigning for a certain political figure that we're not going to mention.
It's Trump.
It rhymes with Shmano Chmong.
What am I campaigning for? He's already in his second term.
You're like third term. You're third term campaigning. But yeah, Adrian, how are you feeling? No, you know what? Before we get into how you're feeling going into the job, can you, just to give the fans a little backstory, walk us through unemployment and how you were feeling every day?
Okay, let's
start on the somber note. What'd you say?
I said, great question, La Gran Puchica, as your name says on the teams.
Oh yeah, La Gran Puchica.
I like that name, by the way.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, and Adrian's on Instagram. We got a lot to unwrap on this before we get into the articles. Let's start with Instagram, and then we'll get into how you were feeling up every day unemployed. So Instagram, great. How do you feel about Instagram?
It's okay so far. I think it still needs some time to learn some more stuff about me before the algorithm gets really good.
Oh, you've been on Instagram. I forgot about that. You following any Instagram babes or just people you know IRL?
I mean, some of them are both, you know what I mean? Come on now. But no, yeah, mostly just being a little bit more selective than my Facebook. I think like, I don't need to add everybody that I know on this thing. I think I kind of want to keep it more curated.
I get, yeah. And I've been seeing Adrian a lot of reels and memes on Instagram, and with him not reacting to a lot of them, I'm taking it with a grain of salt because I know he doesn't want to mess up his algorithm, so I don't take it personal.
Wait. So am I supposed to react to them, or am I supposed to like the actual post? What am I supposed to do?
I think etiquette.
I like all of them, but
I think etiquette. When somebody sends me a reel, I'll react to it in the message, but I may not like it. I might not like the actual post or the reel.
That seems more devious because I've liked a lot of the posts you've sent me. I just don't think like, oh, does Phil really need me to hit him with a laughing emoji every time?
No, you don't have to. You don't have to. But I'm sending you these, and then I'm like, what does Adrian like? He didn't like this one.
I did. I've liked all of them so far.
Hold up.
Phil is like an algorithm. You have to give him feedback so he knows what to send you in the future.
Exactly. You see that little laugh emoji? My friend Nick just hit me with that. I sent him a video of this little kid saying, like, these girls at school asked me what I got on. I'm like, don't worry, sweetheart. Don't worry. And that's the whole video. And then, like, with Nick doing the laugh emoji, I'm like, all right, I'm not crazy for thinking this is the most hilarious thing ever.
Okay, all right. You need more validation. I understand. I guess it is kind of
validation, but also it's like, I don't want to keep on sending him these reels if he doesn't think these are funny. I just want to look, like, if you don't like something, just let me know you don't like it, and I won't send you one of those reels again.
Okay. When Instagram was first getting me set up, they were like, here's 5 channels. Tell us if you're interested or not. Second one is literally a Manosphere thing. And like the 5th one was the official Chris Brown one, Instagram. And I was like, what are they doing? What is going on with Instagram? That these are like, these are our 5 default ones to figure out who you are.
Do you find yourself scrolling more on Instagram and like wasting more time or not?
I did today while I was waiting for my car, but not too much. Not too much yet. Not too much yet. Okay. I'll get there, I'm sure. It'll be a good way to pass some time.
It is a really easy way to pass time. Yeah. All right, so let's get into... So you were unemployed starting which month of 2025?
Mid-September.
Mid-September. And then you got the call for the job mid-December, yeah?
No, end of November, right before Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you had... Yeah, before you came to visit. That's right.
Yeah. Otherwise, all right, I wasn't going to visit.
So you had like 2.5 months... unemployed, unsure if you're going to have a job?
Yeah, about 2 months.
Yeah. And how did that feel? Just to explain to the audience, like, what you were... Are y'all scared to get vulnerable on this podcast? Okay, let's talk about sports. Basketball, touchdowns, beers, hot sauce, boobies, Megan Fox.
I think we talked about this on Drake's episode. It was the scariest goddamn thing in the world. I was having a mental breakdown every day for the first 2 weeks.
I got you.
I wouldn't recommend it. As I said to that one woman I was talking at Keegan's party with, if I knew how it was going to end, I would have done a lot better, but you don't know. That's the whole point, is you don't know what's going to happen.
Okay, let's look on the positive side. Was there anything about unemployment you're going to miss?
No. I mean, having the extra time or whatever was whatever. I had a lot when I was in grad school. I think I'm still going to try and get back to working out as much as I did when I was unemployed. And it'll be fun to do that with more money. So, no.
Obviously, we're very happy for you for getting this job. So you got a job for the state. Great job. Very exciting. And you applied.
Well, you know, that's the thing, Philip. I didn't get a job. I got a career. You know, that's what they say when you go to work with the state.
No, you can make it a career, but you got a job. And this is what me and Phil want to talk to you about, Adrian. It's how to conduct yourself at work so you can make this a career.
Right. This is the job.
So I do have 1 year probation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You do.
Which, how long did you guys didn't have probation, right? Or did you guys?
Some jobs have like basically they have to re-up your contract at a certain date. So it's like you don't get fired, but you basically automatically stop working if they didn't like you at that date.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, or you can be like Pierce, where your health insurance doesn't start until after you're done with probation, which is crazy work.
That is crazy. No, my job had nothing like that. Day one, they were just like, hey, you're in this for life. And I'm like, what if I want to leave? And they're like, you can't.
You can't leave.
It was like a vivarium neighborhood, the office. I was like, where do I go?
They all there stood around the childhood. They were like, nightmare.
there goes the childhood. Yeah, no, my job had nothing like that. But yeah. So this episode is kind of like to prep you, I guess, for the office space. I mean, obviously, you had jobs before the office.
Yeah, we worked at Tokyo Grill together.
Yeah, we worked at T-Greasy. We worked at big corporate before. We already know how this shit goes down.
Yeah.
We've
done the big wig stuff.
We were still making copies of our butt on the copier or whatever.
Yeah.
One of the differences between an office job and Tokyo Grill is that you can't make fun of the cook as much at the office job. You can't make a joke out of what was that guy's name? Alberto?
Yeah, Alberto.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can't do racist jokes. Now, let me be clear. They were also making racist jokes. We just jumped in. Yeah. It was fun for the whole office. And we always did it before. And it was weird, too, because they would call our owner, who was Chinese, they would call him Poppy. There was a lot of, interwoven racism. It didn't all make sense, really, but I did like that.
Sometimes we'd have the other chef who was Salvadoran, so sometimes we'd double up on it.
Yeah. 100%.
The difference between Tokyo Grill and an office job is there's going to be a lot less playful racial ribbing at your office job.
Mm. That's disappointing to hear, but I understand. Okay. Yeah, no, for the last 8 years I've been in grad school, I've had to teach university classes and laboratories, and otherwise most of my work can either be done in active research settings or just at home. So I did a lot of making my own schedule and doing stuff on my little laptop, my little personal laptop, and that's
over
now.
And you did report to your advisor, but more like once every couple of months instead of daily.
Once a year during some of those years.
Damn.
And literally just to be like, yep, things are still working. And he's like, all right, cool. Let me know if you need any help. And I'd be like, all right, cool.
Cool.
We're getting into talking about more regular hours, more regular work that you guys do. The things that simple folks like you guys do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
making
that's
an
true.
Honest living. Just
how did you like the transition of going into doing full-time work?
Honestly, it's tough after college. It was pretty hard to go from being somebody who could kind of skate by on like completing projects and being good at taking tests to having to go in every single day. Yeah, it felt like a whole different ball game. I guess what some people say is true, the whole like, hey, at least when you're off, you can stop thinking about it. That's a difference.
That's what I'm looking forward to, yeah.
Your responsibilities really do end at 5 o'clock that day, and you can go, okay, it's not till tomorrow that I'm going to have to work at all. Obviously, some workplaces are different, and some people are more motivated to like push ahead. But I think for a vast majority of people, you can basically clock off at 5 and stop thinking about it. You have that 40 hours that week to do that work, and unless you're putting it on yourself, you don't really have to let it encroach on the rest of your life at all. Whereas with college, you know, it's like you got a big test coming up, you might have to work on the weekend or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a talk I got from my advisor my first year of grad school was, you know, science doesn't take weekends, you know, doesn't take weekends off. Sometimes you gotta work through those things. So I'm excited to have weekends for the first time. That's kind of interesting.
Phil, how did you feel? Did you feel like work was easier or harder than school? Like more of your time or?
I didn't really compare it to necessarily like my time in school just because like I've always had a job since like high school, whether it was like working like maybe just twice a week or working like most days out of the week, you know? Like through freshman year, I worked a Tokyo Grill on the weekends, you know, I would go back to Lexington, work Tokyo Grill, and then sophomore year, I would work at the one on, like, Forest Drive, and, like, so really since high school, I've worked at Tokyo Grills, and then after college, I was still working at one, and I was, like, a manager at one, but then I was working at the 116 Espresso and Wine Bar, just doing hosting, and I think, like, I never really had, like, I mean, there were some weekends I would maybe have, like, 2 days off if I were to, like, go out of town or something like that, you know, but, like, I was just so used to working already to where a job that was like an office job with like a stable schedule and I have weekends off and like I get paid the same amount every 2 weeks. I was like, that seems so much better than fucking service industry. Like, so like it wasn't the workload I was stressed about. It was like, I was so excited to have a nailed down schedule and become like, I'm not going to say a normal person because service industry people, sometimes they make bank and they look healthy. They look like they're doing like well mentally and stuff like that. But like, I'm not built for it. Like I got to like a tipping point.
I only go to places where the servers look sad. I like that.
Honestly, probably the best service you ever get in your life too.
But, probably the best goddamn service I'll ever get.
Like the Bear, that show, the Bear, they all look like suicidal, but you have the best roast beef sandwich or whatever they make in that show.
Honestly, I feel like the wait times were probably absurd. It seemed like they were constantly panicked to get people their orders. I don't know if I'd
like,
go
why
to
are you
Bear
panicked? You're just making a
twice.
Sandwich with like roast beef in it. Like, why are y'all? Why do y'all have a sous chef?
Someone ordered food off the menu at the restaurant that we own. God damn it!
It really did feel like take the meat out of the meat tray and put it in the bread you already have. What? Why is this a panic?
I never really got that when like at Tokyo Grill on the other hand, you know, me and Adrian, we had to go back there and make vegetable rolls during a dinner rush. Yeah, and Alberto's back there like, hey, do y'all want to see my Marcus impression? And we're like, no. It's busy.
What are you guys' morning routines? Are you guys wake up, wash your face, go straight to work, or what are you guys doing?
Yeah, work from home, it really makes your morning routine kind of absurd. Sometimes it feels like a joke rolling out of bed onto your like desk chair and starting to work. Sometimes I don't brush my teeth till after my first meeting.
I'm kind of the same way. Like, my morning routine is like all over the place when I work from home. But now that I work in the office 3 days out of the week, and the 2 days at home, I you saw my little like morning like routine, like on note cards, like in my bathroom, because it's just so much stuff I want to do, and I don't want to have to do anything when I get home from work. Like, oh, I forgot to put on moisturizer on my face today, or I forgot to like floss today. I'm like, no, I'm gonna do like these like 9 to 10 things, and it's gonna take me a while in the morning, but I'm gonna feel so much better when I get to work and be like, when I get off for the day.
And that's the real what he said about moisturizer. Now that you have a real job, Adrian, you need a skincare routine.
Oh,
honey, I know. I'm working on it.
Because it's going to age you.
I think it's going to de-age me. I think it's going to be a lot less stressful.
You know, there is a gym in my work, and I have thought about like bringing like skincare stuff with me. And then if I did like go work out at the gym, I'm like, oh, I could shower. Then I could do my skincare at work. That would save me time in the morning. And I could do something like on my lunch break and then just eat lunch. I could do the gym on my lunch break and then eat lunch at my desk. And I think that kind of brings us to one of our big points we want to talk about. And that's stealing company time, which is so crucial when you work for corporate, any office jobs, because it's so easy to get away with.
I don't They're work not, for corporate, but.
And if you poop at you're home,
you're working for big pharma
bitch.
And you don't want to tell your fans.
Adrian, you never poop at home again. You poop at work every single time.
But what if
the
people in the office think my poop is stinky?
That's okay.
Obviously, stealing company time is very easy to do when you work from home. You know, we don't really have to talk about that. Just wiggle the mouse every now and then if they're watching your screen, you know. But if they are watching your screen, which some companies do, like with the call center, I used to pull up like a big like work article and just keep it on the screen as if I'm reading this very long article and then just walk away from my desk for like 30 minutes.
Nice.
Maybe scroll down.
And
every
they believed
now.
It. They were like, that's about how long it would take Phil to read 600 words. He's probably sounding it out.
Phil's just pulling up the WikiHow article for how to talk to girls. I'll just leave that up for a little bit.
Yeah, I think Phil is studying this model of a vagina for 45 minutes.
He's on the Wikipedia page for vagina because he thinks that that's a way to look at porn without getting in trouble at work.
Oh, man. Yeah, I have like 67 tabs open, and that's one of them. I'm just going back and forth. When you're in the office, I feel like it is a little harder to steal company time, but I feel like that's like the beauty of working from home like 2 days or 3 days out of the week is that when you get a lot of work while you're working from home, you save it for your in-office days. So then when you're in the office, you will never have a dull moment. You just have all this work to catch up on.
Okay, that's true. You will constantly be catching up. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always be catching up. ABC.
ABC. Okay. And so in terms of what do you guys wear to the office, what kind of dress code are you guys rocking?
Do you wear stuff, Paul?
I used to. When I first started working, I really did do like the slacks and collared shirt thing. But I guess as the years went on, I kind of moved to like jeans and a polo, sort of like more casual attire. I guess it depends. I feel like that's something where you got to copy the vibe of the office. But I do work now somewhere where it's like completely whatever you want. I still think that people who wear shorts to the office piss me off. I feel like a fuddy-duddy saying it, but I don't want to see your fucking legs. Cover your legs up, man.
Ooh, man, okay. Hot take. Okay. It is definitely noticeable when people wear shorts in the office. And I don't know. I wouldn't do that, you know, just because I'd rather just wear pants. I don't want people looking at my legs either. But yeah, Paul kind of hit it on the nose with like, just copying the vibe. So I think I dressed really nice when I first got my job too. And then when I saw people like not dressing nice, I'm like, okay, I can get away with dressing down for sure. Also, it was really annoying when I got an email like a few months ago that was like, hey, this Friday is Jean Friday. Like, wear blue jeans if you want to. And I was like, yo, I didn't say this, but I was like, Lori wears jeans every day. Like, what? Are we good with this? Because I'll wear jeans every day.
Every day is Jean Friday for Lori.
But yeah, I don't know. It does kind of make me, it doesn't make me mad because I don't mind wearing slacks to the office. Like a lot of my pants that I wear out are not jeans, you know, they're just like those beer bottom elastic waist, like long pants. So they just look like visually they look fine. Like aesthetically they look professional, I guess. But like when they were like, oh, it's Jean Friday. And I'm like, yo, this person's wearing jeans like every day. Or like when people are like, oh, don't leave the office early. Like they're cracking down on that. And it's like, I still see people leave very early. So I'm like, oh, I'm still going to do that then. Like until they say something to me, I'm still going to do it.
Here's the thing. If anybody calls you out on wearing jeans, you say, Adrian's got good jeans. And then if they call you out on that, you say
oh,
they're woke.
Yeah. Everyone will love that.
That's a good catchphrase, actually. If you ever do like stink up the bathroom and somebody says something, you're like, Adrian got stinkies. Like your whole catchphrase is Adrian got, and then you just fill in the blank and that's like your excuse for doing anything.
Oh, yeah. Who's the most annoying person in your office and why? How can I avoid being that person?
I think the most annoying person in my office, I think it's more of like a me thing than it is a her thing. But like we have a Teams chat with like all of our little department members, or our specific team in the department. So it's like 12 people. And I really just use it to ask questions when I don't know something. And that's what most people use it for. But anytime somebody asks a question, like not only does this person respond to it, but they'll respond to stuff that doesn't need to be responded to, or they'll just send a random thing in the Teams chat, like, oh my God, this day is going by so slow, which like, I get it. Like you want to talk and you want to have like a better work environment, but like, it's so annoying when I'm busy at work and I keep on getting these little team pop-ups in the corner of the screen. I have to keep on exiting out of them, you know? And it's to the point to where like, I just mute the Teams chat, but then I'm like, I don't want to keep it on mute for too long in case I have a, like, you know, like maybe somebody has a question I could help them out with. Or
Phil's like, I don't have time for this. I gotta pull up fake articles to pretend to be reading. I can't be exiting out of these team messages all day.
Yeah. I keep on taking a break from doing laundry, coming back to the screen. You're just telling us about your dog. But she'll also be in like Teams meetings where we're like actually talking on camera and stuff, and she'll like, you know, kind of derail the conversation, and I'm like, you're gonna make this 30 minute Teams meeting go the full 30 minutes, and that's not our goal. Our goal is to get out of here in 10 and then go pretend like we're doing work again.
All right,
another tip: every once in a while I'll see somebody on their laptop camera who's clearly on a couch. I don't like that. Don't do that.
Ooh, okay, why not?
I don't like that vibe. It doesn't feel like, it feels like, look, we're all sometimes pretending to be working when we're not working, but that's too obvious that you're not working, that as soon as we get off this meeting, you're laying back on your phone.
I forget whose book this is, but would you guys consider yourself, you guys, as having bullshit jobs, or do you guys think that you guys do something that's meaningful?
I get work done that actually contributes to a final product. I don't know how impactful that is on the world.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if I'm that impactful. I think the people, like the amount of people on my team, could probably get my job done. That would just stress them out a lot. But yeah. And do you think a robot could replace your job, Paul?
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of think
AI is getting there.
Unfortunately, I think so too.
For you?
For a lot of the number stuff I do, but the other stuff I do, like talking to agents and talking to employers, I don't, I mean, obviously, like, nobody wants to talk to a robot on customer service, so when I do have to do that part of the role, like, that's kind of, you know, where I have to be, like, you know, a professional, but other than that, just doing numbers, I could just pop in, you know, listen to some music, listen to some podcasts, and get it done.
Cool. All right, should we get into an article?
Yeah, I'm down.
I'll go first. I'm gonna go ahead and say I'm probably going to edit the answer, because it's very long, but I think the question seems like a good way to keep us just talking about what we're already talking about. This is our old friend Carrie Tennis, we brought in before. Very loquacious fellow. And the question is, if I can scroll up far enough, let's see. I'm going crazy in my job. Here we go. Hi, Carrie. Two reasons I'm writing to you specifically. A, you're an advice columnist, and B, I have a feeling you might have dealt with exactly what I'm going to ask. I've just got a new job. It's an office job. It's for an interesting company. It's young, it's safe, it's comfortable, it's even fairly moral-ish. As far as corporates go, it's pretty right on, if you know what I mean. It's my first job since I went traveling a while back, and herein lies the problem. I don't like work. I never have. There are three brief parts to this. First, it might be partly because I'm lazy, and almost certainly because I'm immature, but it's something about turning up to work every day and being expected to do the same set of actions, have the same attitude and belief systems, have lunch with the same people. It seems crazy to me. I know this is hardly unique to me. The second part is that I hate business speak. Even light references to competition, beating out the other players, maximizing profits, make me feel awful. Don't they realize they're talking about putting other people out of jobs? Don't they realize that all we're doing is taking people's money for things they probably could live without? I cringe every time someone whoops about getting bigger numbers than the other guy down the street. The third and final part is this. For some reason, there's nothing like a business environment to bring out all my insecurities. I constantly worry that I'm doing okay. I constantly assume that every meeting by every superior is in regards to how disappointed they are in the new guy. Every time I look over at a conversation between two people and one person's eyes flick over to me, I have to spend minutes trying to calm myself down, re-educating myself on failure schemas, social anxiety schemas. This person does really bad job. Does a really bad job of writing complete sentences. It seems like they are doing a bad job at their job, probably. It seems like modern office jobs, particularly those involved in the communication of information rather than the construction of goods, are impossible to self-gauge your performance in. You might be making one manager happy, but the guy above him may hate you. At the moment, I'm involved in a project that is just under-resourced. Everyone seems to know it is, and yet I can't help but feel that they're disappointed or angry that I'm not able to do better. Maybe I should be staying later. Maybe I should be less honest about how difficult the current situation is when they ask. I feel guilty and inadequate all the time, even when I'm doing my best. In my last job, it lasted the entire time I was there, so I know it's not a new job thing. Now, if I may, I'd like to cast free from the idea that I seek other work or make do with a more nomadic freelance lifestyle. I've tried these, they don't work. I'm in my 30s, and the idea that a perfect career will happen upon me has been shelved for reality. I'm ready to roll up my sleeves and work. I just need to figure out how. My current job is good. I was lucky to get it. It's in a field I like. It has a good coffee machine. I like having a paycheck every month. People ooh when I tell them who I work for. If I quit this one, I can promise you I'll just quit the next one and the one after. I know, Carrie, that you've worked office jobs in the past and found them less than fitting in all ways. What I'm asking then is this. How do I reframe my thinking to A, be okay with routine, B, be okay with corporate ideologies, and C, how do I get over the constant nauseating feeling that I'm not doing well, that I'm screwing up, that everyone secretly wishes I wasn't there, and does anyone else ever feel this way? Any clues? Thank you, Carrie. From Employed But Uneasy.
All right, first, what company do y'all think she works for? Because she says people ooh and ah when she says that she works for this company. And she gave a hint, a little context clue. They have a good coffee machine. Y'all think she works for Keurig?
Every time I hear someone works for Keurig, I'm like, oh, damn, I'm so jealous.
You got the company car and everything.
How do the amenities at your places?
They have a gym. They have a cafeteria. They have... they have coffee machines, nothing special. They have like Keurig machines, you know, but like I guess the bigger ones, which is kind of cool. They have big fridges we could put our food in. They have hot water machines, which is nice.
And the electrolytes.
Oh yeah, there is a really nice water machine. You know what? That kind of reframed my thinking about being in the office. Like little things like that, like taking advantage of little like amenities that your office has. The first floor, I work on the third floor. The first floor has a water machine where you can add electrolytes and you can add a flavor. And I tried like every combination so far. I love it.
Does it look like a freestyle machine, like one of those Coke machines, or what is it?
It looks like a Coca-Cola freestyle machine, but it's fire. Just water.
That's dope. Paul, what about you? You have all your things and all your toys?
We have like the cold brew on tap. We have the hot coffee machines that make you the complicated bullshit coffees. Spurts it out of a little nozzle. And we have little like snack bars where you can like, spin the thing and like nuts or goldfish come out or whatever.
That's cool.
Ooh. And you don't get to use any of that anymore.
Yeah. It was pretty nice when I was there. I don't think it makes too big a difference. Honestly, I think the coffee machine's the only necessity. The rest is like just a way to kill some time when you're bored. It's like, ooh, I'm going to go get some goldfish.
Oh, That's another thing about my job. You speaking about like whenever you're bored, you can go do this. My job also has, on the first floor, they have a foosball table. What's that thing at Bar None? The big sliding.
Shuffleboard.
They have shuffleboard down there, and they have random cornhole station set up, so that's kind of cool. But I'm not really like that cool with anybody at work to where like they will take time out of their lunch break or take a break to go play with me. And there's this one thing at work where you can get like recognized for doing like a really good job or meeting a certain goal nobody else has met, and they write about you in their little like e-newsletter, you know, that's emailed to everybody. And you write like a little bio about yourself. And I wrote a few facts. And in the end, I was like, hey, also, if anybody wants to play foosball with me on the first floor, just hit me up. Let me know. Never got any messages, though.
Damn. They're like, we don't want to mess up his streak.
Yeah, for real. They're scared. But okay, her first question was how to be okay with routine.
I gotta say, this feels like solve my existential crisis for me. How we can't make you okay with like jobs suck. Like I don't. It feels like way too big a question. It's
do
like,
they suck
reframe
or are you
my
lazy
mindset.
And immature?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It felt like a really tough question to me. It felt like change my mindset. I don't know. Therapy? What do you want from a advice column?
That's, how do I grow up?
Hey, Gary's a smart guy.
Yeah. The third one just sounds like, what do you call it? What's that saying? Where you don't feel like you're good enough to do
imposter
something.
Syndrome?
Imposter syndrome. Mm. There's a lot of stuff online about that. Do you guys know the classic imposter syndrome advice?
No.
I don't either. I feel like
I think it's usually talking to people and realizing they feel the same way.
Mm.
But then you talk to your coworkers and you're like, yeah, but you guys actually suck. You guys actually shouldn't have this job.
I would definitely have that like the first like few months of my job when I'm trying to get used to it, you know, because I was unsure like how long does it take for somebody to get used to this job? And for me, it's like multiple months for me to get used to this billing job. But once I got used to it, I was like, oh, I had nothing to worry about. Like, I'm good. Like,
yeah, I'm so excited to skip to the part where I'm just like in autopilot. But, you know,
there is something funny about when you start a job and it feels like I could never know everything I need to. And then it's just like, yeah, you do slowly just figure it out. Like, it will feel massive at first. It always does feel like too big an amount of information to ever possibly know everything your manager does. And then just like, you will.
Yeah, for sure. And also, it's like that. It's very reassuring to hear from people when they're like, oh, it's way more expensive for some for like the company to like train you and then fire you, you know, rehire somebody or whatever, however that's saying, whatever people say. But like, yeah, it's like they're not going to just let you go because you don't get the job within the first few months. And it kind of sounds to me like this is her first few months on the job. It seems like she's kind of fresh with it.
Yeah.
You said, Phil, you said you were always pretty excited to have an office job because you felt like you were lucky to not be in the service industry anymore. You've never had an existential issue with like, oh my gosh, this is until I retire, it's just this?
No, not really. Because it was like, I don't know. I just never, I think is a, yeah, I'll go ahead and say my workplace. But like, yeah, it's a.
Getting fired.
They are a very good company to work for, to where I've never been like scolded or like yelled at by a boss or something like that. I've never been surrounded by like corporate bullshit like that, where like, because I don't work anywhere near the sales department, you know. Every now and then I'll talk to sales agents, but I feel like that's a little more hectic, a little more how do you say, a little more chaotic and more toxic. A little more toxic and cutthroat than it is just working a desk job, you know? People at a desk job are either, like, about to retire or they're in the same position as you. There's not a lot of people in between. So nobody really cares that much.
What do you think, Adrian? Do you think you're going to have a crisis of meaning?
No, I'm pretty excited about it. I think I kind of... That was something that, like, at first I was a little bit iffy about, but I think I've basically turned my perspective on it 180 of, like, basically reminding myself all of the things that I didn't like about grad school, where I'm like, yeah, I'm excited to have a regular schedule. I'm excited to have dedicated time off. I'm excited to have like security and get the same paycheck every month. And I think I'm going to overall like it. And if I really don't like my job in particular, I can always move to a different job within the state system. So
nice. That's really good to have that, like kind of like a safety net, you know, to be like, well, now I'm already in, you know?
Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah. So like, I don't know. I mean, it felt like a bleak question to ask you guys in terms of like how likely layoffs are to happen to you. But like, that doesn't really happen at my job. Like, you're basically, once you pass probation, you're there.
In it for life.
Yeah.
Wait, Paul, you reminded me of something. You were asking about like, I didn't really have like a crisis or anything because like, I have stuff I love to do on the side of work. And like, I mean, like, my job is so flexible to where, like, yeah, we talk about stealing company time, but like, if you get your work done and they want you there 8 hours, you're going to have some free time to do other stuff and it's not really going to negatively affect your job, you know? So, like, I'm able to, like, you know, write stuff or like plan some shows or something like that on the side. And I'm like, I am kind of, you know, working for the weekend, I guess, but like, my weekend is great, you know? My after work curricular activities are fun, you know? So, like, y'all both have the podcast, you know. You know, Adrian's doing improv coming up. Like, y'all have other stuff that, like, y'all do outside of work to where like, yeah, work is just something you just have to do. And it's like, money is great. So it's like, we love money. Like, I don't know.
Are you like that scene from The Chair Company where he's like, you're not allowed to just ask me for more money. We all want more money. You can't just ask for it.
Yeah. Just,
so that's advice to this person is think about the paycheck.
Dude, for real. Yeah.
Think about your work doesn't matter. You got to think about the outcome of your work.
Okay, how to be okay with routine is one of her questions. And she said, like, having lunch with the same people, doing this. And it's like, you don't have to have lunch with the same people. You know, you can have lunch with different people. You can have lunch by yourself and let's do a podcast or watch a TV show. Or you can do personal tasks on the clock. Like, you don't have to, like, I don't know. Like, you don't have to make it as routine as a 9-to-5 sounds, you know?
But go try out a new restaurant every Wednesday.
That's right. Hey, that's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Margarita Mondays?
Ooh, that's a pro tip. Go on a walk during your lunch break, Adrian. That's a nice time to go on
honestly,
a walk.
Honestly, I'm thinking about it. I have an hour. That feels like so much time to kill.
You have to take the hour, right?
I mean, I think that seems mostly good for if I like need to go to the doctor or something and like have to like start squeezing that in or go to the dentist, yeah.
Paul, how do you deal with like the routine at like, well, I mean, you work fully remote, so it's kind of like...
Yeah, it can be a bit of a drudgery working fully remote. Honestly, I should probably work on it better. I should probably find more ways to switch up my days. I do go on walks during lunch. Yeah, I think that's how I try to deal with it, do something different during lunch. Like, even if I... Like, sometimes I'll purposefully not cook lunch so I can just leave the house during that time. Just kind of need to.
Yeah.
I'll walk to get a Dunkin' Donuts coffee just because I want to leave the house. Stuff like that. But I guess I'm lucky enough to live within walking distance of places. I don't know if you're like stuck at home.
I guess it just kind of depends like what your surroundings are. Yeah, because at home I have no routine ever. I guess I do different stuff, you know, like maybe if I walked yesterday, I might be like, maybe I'll stay in the house. Maybe I'll do like some chores and watch like a YouTube video while I do it and kind of decompress that way instead of walk again. But yeah, when I'm in the office and it's the summertime, I think I walk outside like every single day, like probably take my lunch out there, get some vitamin D.
So how often in your jobs do you guys have to be like immediately available? Like how often are you doing laundry and you realize that you've been away when someone sent you a message about like an urgent meeting or something like that? Is that ever like a fear in your head?
That happens for me. Yeah, because we have like an application that can go down and stuff. Like sometimes in the morning it's like everything went down and we have to get the site back up. But it's usually not too bad. It's usually like multiple people's problems. So we're all on a meeting trying to figure it out. Could be a little stressful, but I don't know. It's not the worst thing in the world.
If somebody hit me up while I was like away from the desk, and when I come back to the desk, which I would probably come back every like 5 to 10 minutes at the latest 15, I would just be like, oh, sorry, I was on a break. Or, oh, sorry, I was like, you know, in the bathroom or whatever.
Big old shit.
I was taking the
stinkiest. You say, sorry, I was in the bathroom?
I was in the bathroom and I wasn't jerking off though. I was pooping. That's what I was doing.
Taking a big old dump.
I just repainted the walls, really. That's all I did. Let me watch this.
Give it 35, 45 minutes. Phil, it's the bathroom in your house. Yeah, don't come over.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's never something to where, like, oh, you weren't available at this time. You must be really slacking off. Or, like, now your work is affected because you didn't see this one message.
You're compromised.
Like, you're compromised. You're back on probation. Never with me, honey.
Also, you could probably put your messaging app on your phone. I mean, I don't know what messaging app your company uses,
but
that's also an option.
If it's on my work phone, yeah, I guess I'll have to walk around with my work phone on me.
Oh.
I don't think I'm putting it on my regular phone. They're really big on not doing that. But kind of like we were saying earlier about how I used to meet with Brian like maybe once a year during certain parts of grad school, how often are you like meeting with your supervisor to actually talk about things?
Once a month.
I have a one-on-one every other week. Yeah. I mean, my project, it's like you work with the people who are working on the project. And I guess if some sort of controversy showed up, like about how you should do something and you felt one way and the person felt the other, then you like move it up to the manager. But other than that, okay.
You just kind beef. Of
no, not beef, but you know, sometimes you gotta figure out a difference of opinion.
Mm. Okay. All right. Any silly advice for this person who's worried about their work?
How to be okay with? Oh wait. They had Oh, wait. They had a three-part question, though. We did the routine one.
They had three
one.
Of them, thanks.
The second one was how to be okay with corporate ideologies, which is such a hard thing to answer. Like, how do you rewire your brain to like the corporate world? Like, that's an insane question.
That really, yeah. It's like, teach me how to be happy. I don't know. It's like...
Yeah. I feel like I can feel pretty okay about my job ethically. I don't know how you guys feel, but like, I'm serving the people of California. I say that jokingly, but that is true. So like, I don't know.
How would you feel about, and I feel like people have gotten better about this than like when Office Space came out, but like, if somebody was talking a lot about synergy, how good are you going to be at not rolling your eyes, Adrian? Are you going to be able to hold back on?
I don't think we really do that, but no, it's hard for me to not roll my eyes on during that, yeah.
There is modern versions of that. Nobody's using synergy anymore, but there are Kaizen somewhat modern Joe's. Versions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What'd they say at Trader Joe's? You said it's called Kaizen?
Yeah.
Kaizen. Is that like from a different language?
Japanese. Phil, do you want to say it?
Oh, do I want to say it? Or do I need to say it? It's both. Here we go.
No, it means like small improvements every day. I think it's like Nissan like or
Nissan, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. I drive a Nissan. I could use some small improvements every day. I'll tell you what. Come on now.
I live in a Nissan. I give some home improvement. How do I get over the constant feeling that you're not doing well? Okay. I got an idea for this.
I don't know how too worried I'm going to be about that one, but we'll see.
Well, she was saying that she suspected that people were talking about her when she was walking by and they would make eye contact with her. And I would say, pretend that you're undercover boss. And ask them, you know, like, or like when they say mean stuff to you, pretend you're undercover boss and like maybe they'll start being nice to you, you know? So maybe ask them like, you know, anything going on at home you want to talk about? And be like, do you think there's anything that like we can change? Oh, I mean like the company can change like pay-wise, you know, or benefit-wise? Because we're trying to do our best. I mean, they're trying to do our best. They're trying to, I mean, I don't work here.
Sick family members or?
You have a fake mustache falling off right now.
We work at Amazon. I know you're not Jeff Bezos.
Kind of look like him, though.
We know you're not Steve Keurig.
Just wait till my father, Steve Keurig, hears about how you guys have been treating me.
Yeah, say your name is Anna Keurig Jr. or something. I don't know. I don't really give a shit what anybody says about my work. It's like, I really only care if my manager says something, and even if they're wrong about, like, I think they're wrong, I'm like, I'm still going to change it because I like the money. I'm not going to, like, try to, like, stand up for myself at work if they want to, like, make me change something.
I like that you reframe like that classic quote. The classic quote that's the only opinions about me that matter are my own and God's, but it's the only opinions about me that matter are my own and my manager.
My manager. The guy who the person who writes my checks. That's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I really don't give it. I mean, nobody's ever done that at work, though. Like, we're all very easy to work with. Everybody's super cool.
Yeah, I think that's... It is weird because, Phil, you said the same thing I relate to about, like, never having to deal with, like, a yeller and stuff. Do you ever talk to those people with bad jobs where they're like, oh, this guy yelled at me during a meeting? And it's just, like, it feels alien to me. I'm like, I don't even know how I would react. I'd be like, you're yelling at me? We're two adults and you're yelling at me? What's wrong with you? Like,
yeah.
But some people do deal with that. And I guess I don't know. I'm lucky I've never dealt with it. I don't know how to frame that. Maybe I don't give off you can yell at me energy. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's like, hey, if they pay a lot of money, yeah, you can yell at me. You pay a
We're
lot.
We're
learning
a lot about how Phil views his work.
You got to get that yelling bonus. Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. At like at Tokyo Grill, Kevin would like, I don't know if he would necessarily yell at us, but he would be very mean to us. And it was one of those things where like,
so annoying.
I just kept in my mind, I'm like, he's going to be here in the store for like 30 minutes. He's going to leave. And once he leaves, Alberto's going to make some racist joke about it. And we'll all laugh.
And it'll all be true.
I guess that's true. When I worked at Moe's in high school, that's the closest I've ever had to like getting bad feedback or having a manager like say some bullshit to me, which was like
Moe's was like infamously like a bad work environment, right? Like a lot of people said like that sucked to work there.
Yeah. The managers were just like, they would pretend that the job could be done quicker and more easily than it actually could be. And it's like, man, stop trying to save time. Like, they would be like, why did it take you like 30 minutes to close? You can sweep quicker. And I'd be like, no, I can't. Like, and then it's like, if you did sweep quicker, they'd be like, why was there still shit on the floor? And you'd just be like, okay, you're just being a, like, a dick. Like,
do they ever say
you can't have it both ways?
Did they ever say like, oh, if there's time to lean, there's time to clean?
No, they did.
No, we're not doing the third segment yet.
They did ask us once clock out if there weren't customers in, and I was like, no, I drove here and I clocked in. I can't go home for 15 minutes because there's no customers. I'm not clocking out and not getting paid for 15 minutes.
Yeah, I hate that. That's so stupid. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. People did it too, but I don't know. Yeah. There was one time where I was like, show me how I could sweep quicker, because I was getting so pissed at this guy for telling me I could close quicker. And he went to show me, and I was like, if I swept like that, you would tell me that I didn't get all the shit off the floor. You left shit all over the floor. I was like, show me, just sweep.
I like the idea of him being like, oh, I'll sweep show you. Come on, I'm gonna.
He's getting like nothing. He just
literally, he like took the broom and like did a quick sweep. Didn't get any shit off the floor. Was like, see, and I was like, shit all over the floor.
I love that dude. We're like, Bo, you can roll a burrito faster, and he does it really fast because like beans everywhere. And he's like, no, sweep it up really fast. He's like, woo-woo-woo.
Yeah, they were some dumb dicks. They got, I think I've told this story to Adrian many times, and maybe even on the podcast. They got people to paint the store for free. I don't know what it is. I like, they outright asked me to stay late and paint for free. They were like, we're bringing pizza, we're all gonna stick like hang out and repaint. And I was like, no. But people did that shit.
How much pizza? Hey, how much money? Pizza like money. How much pizza are we talking?
I was very lucky at Trader Joe's because my performance reviews were always very simple. And it was a thing where, like, very cynically, I understood that it wasn't in their interest to deny me a raise. It was only the people who worked full time that actually got, like, critical reviews of, like, oh, we're not going to be able to give you a raise this time. And so, like, for me, I worked 2 days a week. It didn't matter if I made 25 more cents or whatever. So that was something that I was always hyper aware of. I was like, man, it kind of sucks to be a full time worker here. All right. Let me sift through this answer. I'm definitely not going to read all of it. Dear employed but uneasy, yes, other people do ever feel this way, and they find a way to keep sucking it up and doing the job day after day. But
what? What?
I suppose there are good... no. I suppose there are good suggestions about how to make your days bearable. But I guess you really want this job, and it is a good job. But frankly, as one human to another, I don't want to tell you to just suck it up, work hard, and be a part of the company. I want you to find what you're looking for. This is alienated work, and alienated work sucks. That's no mystery. We are so atomized. There's nothing wrong with you. You are just in the wrong job. Wait, is Carrie Tennis telling them to quit? Until you somehow find the work you were destined to do, no amount
give me
of
your job.
Is going to... Yeah, what the hell? This is terrible advice. Until you somehow find the work you were destined to do, no amount of status is going to ease your nagging insecurity. You feel like you don't belong because you don't belong there. That's not to say you can't do the job. Of course you can do the job. But life is short. Every year is a year of your life. You can do it. We humans can put up with just about anything, from boring jobs to torture cages. But should you? Why? Unless not doing this job is going to cause the death of a child or put you in starvation, I think you should plan to keep looking into your soul for what you are really driven to do.
So sure, plan to be a Nepo baby or not have a family? What is this? Of course most people are going to starve if they don't have a job. Like, we have houses to pay for and shit, my dude.
Sure, keep working and save some money. But don't pretend there's some magical way you're going to just adjust. The reason you're not comfortable is that it's not the right job. It never will be. I know what you were saying about the difficulties of drifting from job to job, how the insecurity of not having a paycheck or a place to live can paralyze you and make you literally sick with worry. Yet, I know that there is some greater truth in your discomfort. There is something else you really belong doing, and it is the larger purpose that you need to find. You may have to do some wandering, maybe not now, but when you've had your fill. Save some money, tough it out for a year, save your money, and then leave and wander some more. What? That's terrible. I mean, you're a citizen of the world, and the world is hiding. Da-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da.
I think, like, she almost had a good answer when she was like, tough it out for a year. I just would have changed it to, like, tough it out until you find a job
I see where you went wrong. It's a male carry.
Yeah. Welcome to the reason that every day someone looks for a job in the arts or becomes a police sergeant or a lifeguard or a taxi driver, because our technology has allowed us to create these penal colonies of cubicles where spirits rot and emotions die, and penises sit limp in the pants of avid young men, and women's breasts fall, and their tight asses go saggy, and their makeup runs.
Wait, this isn't real, right? What are you talking about?
And that's their bodies really... grow encased. And their bodies grow encased in useless fat from sedentary disease and anxious eating and blood sugar highs. Welcome to the reason that Prozac has become the new sacramental wafer. Welcome to the reason that so many of us are wandering around looking for a new car. You know this. I know. You
have so wandered.
Oh, shit. I found down. That part. He really said, and women's breasts fall and their tight asses go saggy. That's actually part of it. And
I can see why Carrie is not like a workplace I can see why Carrie did not last in an office
job. Yeah, I can
see
why he didn't want to last in the office. It's definitely not survivorship bias that he can give this advice to people that it'll definitely work out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys should read this. This shit's crazy. Now he's talking about Derek Jeter. I don't know why. and now he's talking some more about some other shit, yada yada yada.
The earth is flat. Quit your job.
That be like one of the ancient saints. Listen for the voice that tells you where to go and just pack up and go there. Your life might end up as a ragged mess, but it will be a beautiful mess. My travels often ended with me as a ragged mess, but it was where I had to go, and I'm glad I did not stay home counting my vacation hours on my timesheet, waiting for my 401k to vest, or hoping for a good golf game. Yeah, that's definitely the advice of a straight white guy with a lot of privilege in life.
And a cool fedora.
Cool fedora. Cool, you know, fedora. What? I changed my opinion. I agree with Gary.
This man, Adrian, you got to look at this man who's telling you to not let your tits sag. Don't let your titty sag.
What's crazy?
Don't let your titty sag, Phil.
Don't let your titty sag. Don't put on too much weight from the anxiety.
Why's your ass getting all flabby?
Yeah, I don't remember particularly. Actually, we did hate his last answer, too. Maybe we don't like Carrie. I guess I forgot. It was, he's the ops.
Does he write for The Spectator, or does he just have the same, like, photo of himself that all the Spectator writers have?
No, I have no idea. His advice column's on his own website. All right, Paul, you ready for your column? Or did you want to say anything else about how terrible that was? That was very bad.
Good answer. That's what I got to say. Good answer, Carrie.
Oh, okay. All right.
No X's on this side.
Personally, I wouldn't include a whole thing about how women's bodies are disgusting.
Yeah, and I don't know what he was saying.
Like, and the limp penises.
Yeah, what was he talking about? Like, I got so lost at that part. Like, Carrie, I'm asking you, like, how do I deal with my corporate job?
To be fair, I did skip around, but yes.
Yeah, let's be fair to Carrie.
He derailed a lot. He was like, you know what? Speaking of sexual harassment, I got some observations.
No cap.
Okay, I brought in pretty obvious one for a new workplace, Adrian. Ask a manager. And so this column's going to be a little bit about like some of the goofy characters. Like, every office has a Dwight, Adrian. So you might have to... or actually, I guess this would be a gym because this is going to be the office cut-up. So you might have to... deal with somebody being funnier than you.
Ooh,
so I brought
the funny
in
funny guy,
Allison Green from 2017.
Phil, are you known as the funny guy in your workplace?
Nope, and I've kept it a pretty good secret. For the most part, I've kept it a secret that I do comedy and rap. Like a few people have figured out because they go out to bars and stuff. But every time they talk
they
to
know
me
your
about
Hannah
it,
Montana
like, hey,
secret, which a little Hannah Montana ass.
I've reminded them so many times, though, hey, it's really cool that you know that you come out. Please come out of shows. Please don't tell anybody, though. I really don't want to be like that guy in the office.
And Paul, are you the funny guy in your office?
No. Next question.
Oh, wait. I do want to say I am the very young guy in the office. Everybody else is at least like at least 7 years older than me, I would say. Probably the youngest person is 7 years older than me. And there was, so my... Okay, so we had a meeting at work once, like an in-person meeting, and it was like seven of us. And my manager was like, yeah, sometimes when I yell at my kids, they call me Debo, and everybody laughed. And do y'all know who Debo is from the movie Friday?
No.
He's like the bully in Friday who like steals somebody's bike and stuff, and he's like a big character in it. And I don't want to say her name or anything, but the nickname Debo is such a good slam to her because it's kind of like her initials. And so everybody laughed, and I laughed too. And then people got kind of quiet. They were like, Phil, do you even get that reference? And I was like, it's from Friday. And then everybody was like, oh, shit. Everybody went crazy. And I'm like, okay, I'm not like a baby. I know like movies.
Oh, okay.
They were asking me to, literally today, they were like, Phil, like they were talking about something with like movies. And they were like, Phil, do you even know what a VHS is? And I'm like, yes, I know what things are.
Phil, you even know what a pencil is?
They asked me if I know how to use a rotary phone. And I'm like, no, because I didn't have one.
Well, it's pretty easy. You could figure it out.
I don't think I could.
Yeah. Oh, you got it. Put your finger on that number and pull it down to the zero.
I asked them, like, did y'all have like a crank TV? And they were like, no, what's that? And I'm like, oh, I saw it on an episode of Drake and Josh once where they were cranking the TV because of a bad storm.
No,
and they
were
like,
that's you cranking while you were watching TV.
Yeah. While I was watching Crank with Jason Statham.
All right.
That was you watching Crank Yankers while you were cranking it.
To get into this Allison Green.
That was me watching Christmas with the Cranks. I think we're out, Paul. I think you're good to go.
You're watching Cranksgiving.
All right. To get into this Allison Green about the office cut up, my coworker came to work dressed as Jesus.
I was paying Ratchet and Crank.
That one wasn't worth it.
Keep it in. Okay, go ahead. Go off, King.
I work at an up-and-coming techie mid-range e-com company that always felt very inclusive, fun, and positive. Most employees are male and between the ages of 25 to 35 and are prone to ribbing and bets. Grow out your mullet for a year for $1,500. That type
of
thing.
I would do that in a heartbeat. Are you kidding me?
That's a lot of money. I would get hair transplants.
We
for that.
We basically figured this out bet that to you. Why did you both try to take the money? I'm reading from a column.
We were like, deal.
I'll do it, but I'm gonna need half now and half later.
You guys both like excitedly jumped at the offer. Where do
I sign? You're saying you wouldn't pay me $1,500 to grow out my hair for you.
One of our employees bears a striking resemblance to the Jesus often portrayed in chintzy kids' Bibles. Long wavy brown hair, soft eye, big beard. Because of this, his unofficial nickname...
Fat ass.
Shaggy tits. Because of this, his unofficial nickname used throughout the company is Jesus. I'm assuming he was involved in a bet of some sort, because today he walked in decked out in full vestments, long white robes, Hebrew embroidered on his chest, sandals, the whole costume. A few people laughed, and he got right to work at his desk. Our head HR manager walked right past him and didn't bat an eye. I'm a fierce proponent of free speech and believe there's value in cheeky pokes at things we often put on pedestals, like religion. That being said, it seems inappropriate to me to lampoon a religious figure in a work environment. What would you do? Am I being too sensitive?
You can't say I'm a fierce proponent of free speech and believe in the value of cheeky pokes and then being like, but it's Jesus.
You could have done any of the apostles. You could have done one of the disciples. But Jesus, he's the head honcho.
Now, it's probably not good that there is someone in the office who looks a little bit like Muhammad.
Also, just because somebody happens to look like Jesus and his nickname is Jesus, he can't dress up in a costume and have...
That's still
work
appropriate. I think what he wore was work appropriate. Yeah. Maybe not the sandals. Are you allowed to wear open-toed shoes?
I think it depends on the office, probably.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so let's say everything he was wearing was work appropriate. Like this, they allowed open-toed shoes.
You can't prove he's trying to look like Jesus. Just
that's the thing.
That's true.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I wanted to dress casual today. It's a sandal Monday and sandal also Monday. Robe Monday, and it's also multiply these fish Monday.
It's rabbinic robe. Man, no day of the week starts with R.
Didn't really think that one through, did you?
Damn, I should really think to the end of my sentences from now on.
I think as long as he's not like doing the fish and wine thing and walking on water, they can't prove that he's trying to be like Jesus Christ.
I mean, even if he did the fish
and wine
thing.
Even then, he
could
have been like, he could have been Dash from The Incredibles who runs on water.
You know what? That's true. And if he did the fish and wine thing, it'd be like, I'm getting into magic.
Yeah, I'm just getting into magic.
I'm getting into sleight of hand.
Okay, so how
people would be angry at him
because
you know how people hate fish in the workplace because it's stinky.
That's true. Mm. That's him that got the kitchen smelling like that?
So with the Hebrew embroidered on his chest, Jesus wasn't wearing graphic robes, graphic tea robes. Like, what was that supposed to be?
Yeah, I didn't really get that. That doesn't feel like part of the classic Jesus to me.
I really just want to like think of, I mean, I know that like this person's asking for advice, but I really just want to give advice to the person dressing like Jesus on how he could lie his way out of being like, I'm not trying to be Jesus, right? The fish and bread thing, we could do the magic thing. So let's say he like reenacted the crucifixion, right? Him getting crucified on the cross. What could he say to get away with that?
Okay, that does seem like a lot to do at work.
Should he do the stigmata wounds too and try to get away with those?
What's stigmata with you?
Yeah, he's like, I did this so I could say the joke, what's stigmata with you?
Oh, Mother Mary. Sorry, I'm just Italian. That's a saying there. I'm not saying okay. My mother was the Virgin Mary.
He takes his break in a wooden manger. He's like, it's better for your back. My doctor says it's better for my back.
It's better for my back.
He's like, you can't even fit in there.
A fella can't take up a little bit of carpentry anymore without accusations getting thrown left and right. This is a crisis of masculinity. Can't have hobbies.
Yeah, imagine him not even being good at like lying his way like through this and being like, if somebody yells at him, he's like, I don't think my father, God, would be too happy about this. Just like, okay, you're clearly trying to be Jesus.
Now, can we revisit the $1,500 for growing out my hair, Paul?
Yo, imagine if you saw this guy dressed as Jesus and he's in the back just counting $1,500. It's like, I'm blessed up right now.
I'm blessed up, brother. I'm way up. I feel blessed.
Okay, how about this? He's baptizing somebody at work, and then when she walks up, he's like, okay, what are you doing? He's like, I'm teaching them how to swim. Yeah, he's getting head in a jacuzzi.
He's counting his money. He's like, shit, bitch, it's not that hard to get a camel through the eye of a needle.
Like, money spread.
Money spread. Okay, how can he get away with healing somebody with leprosy? Who's blind? Yeah. Like somebody is just staring at a computer screen like, I don't see what's the problem. And he shows them, I don't know.
yeah, okay. That is the thing you could do.
You could do that.
I do think we should go back to what Adrian said, how annoying this person is. That they're like, I like to poke fun at things, but this is a step too far.
I like to have
fun.
A laugh.
I think the guy dressed as Jesus should go up to her and be like, hey, I know you like to poke fun of things, and for that, I forgive you. And my dad does too.
And this third other thing that I don't really understand. It's like a ghost or something.
Yeah.
When she brings up to HR to answer for this, he's like, let the person who's never dressed as Jesus cast the first
cast
stone.
Cast the first stone. Yeah.
Okay, Jesus.
Forgive them, Father, because they know not what the fuck they do.
The guy dressed as Jesus. He leaves work. Everybody says bye. And then he comes back out through like a cave prop. And he's like, I'm back, baby. You thought it would be 3 days. Not this time. I guess he does come back after 3 days because of the weekend.
When there's a long weekend.
Yes. He puts out a memo that he's like, no lowercase t's in any more office documents are very triggering.
How about this fake Jesus in the bathroom?
How do we know he's fake?
Oh, that's true. He could be the real Jesus. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. He should go up there and be like, hey, please don't tell anybody. But yes, I'm Jesus.
Yeah, just be like, yeah, I'd like to make a reservation for tonight from being my 12 closest disciples.
Yeah, just one loaf of bread.
Yeah, that's all we need, just one loaf of bread, one fish.
I think that's like that might be a Mad TV sketch where like Jesus and his disciples are at a restaurant and like the waitress brings water. She's like, anything else? He's like, no, I don't think so. Then they all laugh. I forgot who did that sketch, but it was really funny. What if he goes up to this girl and he's like, I'm healing you from the itty bitty titty disease. And she's like, what? He's like really offensive with it. Okay, we can cut that part out. I don't like that Jesus joke. I don't like joke about it. I like poking fun at Jesus.
Cut all that.
I like poking a little fun at Jesus, but some things are just too far. He would never say itty bitty titty.
I like poking fun at things we can all agree on, like black people and poor people, but not Jesus.
So what was her advice? It was like, do I confront this guy? Isn't that what she asked?
You do? Am I being too sensitive?
Oh, it's a Jonathan Quinones.
What would you do? Show up dressed as Pontius Pilate?
Oh. Did Jesus have a boo thing? He didn't have like a wife or anything in the Bible, right?
Did you think it was Pontius Pilate?
I'm thinking of other like things you could like dress up as.
Mary Magdalene. Say if you're like a Dan Brown. If you're a Dan Brown, you say that was his wife, I think.
Oh.
That was what happened? They cut out the verse where he went up to her and said, "I can save you from all this." See, religious stuff is fun to make fun of.
It's fun. Because he really can save her from all that.
He can, yeah.
Oh my God, wait, I do want to mention this. Paul, do you remember when I first got to DC and your friends were having a movie night and we got on YouTube for a little bit with them with a projector, and then I was like, yo, did y'all hear about this whole conspiracy that there was one animal that Noah was not allowed to have on the ark? I just saw like a 60-second AI reel about this, and I think it's real though. And they were like, we have no idea what you're talking about. And then I looked it up on YouTube and there's all these videos on it, but they're all clearly AI, and it's like this creature looks like the ugliest thing. It's like, it's not an animal. It's like, yeah, obviously you didn't let that. There's only one of them, for one.
First off, you said you heard it in a rap song. Let's be clear about this.
I heard a rapper talk about it in an interview, and he's like, you know, man, there was one animal Jesus didn't let on the ark.
Then
you
look it up, and it looks like the fucking swamp monster, the fish that lady fucks. And what's that movie, that Guillermo del Toro movie where she fucks a
Shape
fish?
Of Water?
It looks like that guy.
Shape of Water, yeah.
She fucks the fish.
Yeah, Noah's like, I know my wife's gonna pork you if you get on this boat.
What is up with that? I had never heard of that. Nobody in the room had heard of that. We look up this video and they're just like fish monsters, and there's these people who are like, yeah, Noah told that guy he could not get on the fucking ark.
Everybody can't come.
Everybody can't come. You probably won't make it.
Everybody can't go.
Man, if that's like a quote from the Bible of Noah, be like, everybody can't go, all right? You a cool-looking creature. I ain't going to lie, but...
I ain't mad at it.
You keep doing you, all right? I'm going to swing back around when the flood dies down. We can talk. We can chop it up a little bit. But for now, you're going to have to hang back, all right? Anyhow, that creature's going to be good in the flood. It looked like a swamp monster. It looks like it's the only one that could swim out of all the animals. Like, they didn't let him on. It's like, he didn't need to be. There's only one of them, and he could swim. Everybody can't go. Noah saying that is so funny. Say, hey, man, I talked to my boss. I don't have a problem with you. My boss told me, I'm just the middleman, all right? He said, don't let this ugly-ass creature with a BBL on the boat. He's going to rock that shit.
Oh, did we want to, before we get into Allison Green's answer, did we want to give Adrian advice about how to know what joke is or isn't work appropriate?
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, okay, so let's say the roles were reversed, right? We reverse the roles.
And it was Jesus dressing up as a tech worker. Okay.
He's got all birds on?
No, it's... Okay, what would be a joke at work that would offend you a lot, Adrian? If somebody did a joke at work, they would say, like, something about the Guatemalan stereotypes?
Yeah, they said Guatemalans are stinky or something like that. I mean, I've heard worse on this podcast from Paul, but...
I'm training you. I'm getting you ready.
I'm toughening
This whole
you
podcast
up.
Has been a training session, all right?
I was there was a tear coming down my eye every time I said something bad about Guatemalans. I just wanted you to learn how to deal with it.
He was like, hey, I don't want to do it. Hey, I don't want to do it.
It hurt me more than it hurt you, Adrian. Mm. When I said Guatemalans don't get no pussy.
I don't know. Not like people make bald jokes to me sometimes at work, but like I don't really care. I think as long as like it's in good spirit and they're not like being like actual bullies, I don't think you're going to encounter that really. Like people who are good, like who are mature enough to have a corporate job and stay in it, unlike the first question asker, they're not going to be bullies. They're not adult bullies. Like I don't know. If anything, you may hear some political jokes that will piss you off, but I hear that very, very rare. I may have never heard that in this job before, but.
There's another Allison Green about a coworker coming in on Halloween dressed as one of their coworkers to mock them.
That's funny as hell.
That's funny.
So I guess there are bullies, but yeah, maybe me and Phil don't have enough experience. But the answer to this question, if anyone reading this has ever wondered why managers sometimes seem like sticks in the mud, this is the perfect example of why. This joke is so context dependent. There are lots of people who would find this funny and not in a we intend to disrespect Christians way, just in a ha, you look like a historical famous figure way. I'd find it pretty funny in some situations. But there's a different standard for what kind of jokes you can make at work. Things that would seem 100% as good-natured fun in your social circle can end up being inappropriate in a work context, where you have a captive audience of people who probably come from a bunch of different backgrounds and walks of life. You've got varying religions and degrees of religiosity, ages, gender, economic background, sexual orientation, and so forth. And an employer has a strong interest in ensuring that they all feel reasonably comfortable and respected. That's why jokes that touch on religion or sex or so forth aren't smart at work, even if they might be fine in a different context, and even if you're just talking to one person who you're sure will find it hilarious, because A, you can't be sure that's true. It's really common for people to laugh along when they're uncomfortable because they feel awkward speaking up. And B, you have no idea if others may overhear it or hear it attributed to you later. So back to your coworker. Was it fine for that environment? Maybe. There are a bunch of workplaces where everyone truly would be amused by this. And again, not in a hostile to religion way. But if there's even one person who's already feeling like their religion has been disrespected or has set them apart in some way, you can imagine this feeling like another blow. That's not good for a company. And as companies mature, they usually figure that out over time, which is why you see many companies become increasingly conservative about this kind of humor. That's also part of why you generally see much looser cultures at startups. They haven't had the experience yet that will nudge them into realizing the landmines this stuff can pose. Some people get that and some people don't. And those that don't will think this is reading way too much into a dude dressing up like storybook Jesus. And when you put those two viewpoints together, you get one side perceived as offensive or insensitive and the other side perceived as sticks in the mud. But when smart companies have to pick between those options, they pick the latter.
I thought the answer was fine, I guess. I don't know. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. Better than Carrie's.
Do you guys know of any rules that you guys have at your work specifically because of like one incident?
No more dressing up as the creature who couldn't get on Noah's Ark. And then coming into the office and be like, I heard there was an onboarding. I'm interested.
That's pretty good. I'm interested.
Hey, if there's room.
Hey, I'm just trying to stay above water. You know what I mean?
Yes, that's so funny to me to think like Noah telling him like he can't get in, and this creature is like clearly dressed up as a giraffe trying to get in. Like, hey, God said it was good. God said that he needs two giraffes. It's like you are 70 feet tall. That's way too tall for a giraffe. It's like, hey, I'm one of the big ones. They're all the runts of the litters. I'm good.
Can you imagine for a company Halloween coming dressed up as the creature that couldn't get onto Noah's Ark and having to explain that?
But you see, God told Noah he can't let this one creature own the Ark. And scientists think it looks like this.
Scientists?
The swamp monster with a huge hog? Yeah, like a big prosthetic hog. Oh, that's the one animal. They wouldn't let my hog onto the Ark.
That was Noah's one rule. No animals with bigger hogs than me.
It's like God didn't tell him that. Noah was like, oh yeah, and just to, you know, add some revisions to your criteria, no animals with bigger hogs than me. Yeah, yeah. And God's like, what? He's like, all right, good call.
Good call.
Click.
Yoink.
Noah was like, my Zoom meeting is running out of time, but we're good on the hog thing. Do you think when like actual hogs were walking up to Noah's Ark?
I'm gonna get ahead
of
this question now.
He was checking his pants, like, oh god, what happened to my penis? Because he got to do that joke twice. He got to do that joke two times.
For a lady hog, yeah.
Yeah. Anacondas, he gotta do those twice too. Mm. Wait, the anacondas are there then? And he like pulls open his pants like, oh. Like, I'm
okay. He's doing this for his wife of like 900 years.
He's doing that for the swamp monster that's still hanging out with him. The swamp monster is working the door with
He's
him.
Like, hey, you can't leave with us, but you can hang out for a little bit.
What are y'all doing the rest of the night? I've never seen that movie, Noah, but now I kind of want to.
And see if that creature's in it.
Yeah, I want to see if that creature's
He's
in it.
He's like, come on, Noah, I'm not drunk. He's like, it's like a bottle of whiskey. All right, y'all want to get into the third seg?
Yeah, let's do it. Third seggy.
All right, so the third Seggy, it's kind of like an open discussion, but what we're really focusing on is overused and corny jokes that you may hear at the office, and we're going to try to make them better. So that way, and we can also come up with some rebuttals for these jokes, you know, a little tit for tats.
My rebuttal game's going to be crazy at work.
Your rebuttal game's
going to
be crazy at work. So if you're going to hear one of these jokes, then you going to have a better joke to top it off with. All right, so first one, we kind of mentioned it on the pod, and I came up with it while we mentioned it or whatever. We were talking about, hey, so if somebody goes up to you, right, and I know you don't clean on your job, but they're like, hey, if you got time to lean, you got time to clean. What you do is you clean a little bit and you say, hey, if you got time to clean, you got time to lean, and you sip a little cough syrup out of a double stack styrofoam cup.
Okay, yeah,
all right, that's kind of
hard on me at all time. Okay.
But I wrote down some, and I wrote down some.
Did y'all ever watch that video of Paul Wall explaining what real sippers are like?
Nah.
I'll send it to you. It's pretty good.
I want to see that.
Real sippers.
It's an interviewer being like, do you double cup? And then he just goes on for 20 minutes about what real sippers are like. He's like, real sippers do this.
Wine glass?
They butt chug it. So I wrote down some jokes that I've heard at my service industry jobs. I wrote down some jokes I hear at the office a little bit, and then I found a Reddit article, and then I asked a friend of the pod, Zalata, jokes she hears on her nursing floor. So let's start with some typical ones. Working hard or hardly working? Somebody goes up to Adrian and says that. Hey, working hard or hardly working? Do we do the working
obviously
hard
thing?
Obviously,
you go with, I'm always hard when I work.
Okay, yeah.
That's one direction to go.
You want to go in a different direction?
No, working hard or hardly working. I don't know, Adrian. Let's put you on the spot. Okay, let's say, pretend you're slacking off or jacking off. Perez is the really racist boss you have. Guate! Hey!
Listen, you're coming in hot right now.
What else was I going to ask you? Oh, yeah. Working hard or hardly working?
Ask your wife.
She hasn't answered my calls all day. Do you think she'll answer if I ask her that?
You guys are divorced? That makes sense.
We got divorced this morning. No, that's pretty good. Morning? Ask your wife. We got divorced this morning. Right before I got into work. All right, that's pretty good. Ask your wife. That's pretty good.
No, I don't think you're allowed to do that at work. That shouldn't be encouraged.
Okay, a work-appropriate response.
Have I ever told you the joke about the wheat farmers who are working together, working barley or barely working?
That's pretty good. I like that.
Okay, there you go.
That's pretty good.
I don't know if that's a rebuttal, but that's a joke I thought of.
All right, a typical joke I hear a lot at the office, and I've seen, I've heard this a lot. You bring in lunch from somewhere, and somebody's like, ooh, did you bring enough for all of us?
Is that happening in your job?
You have the Jesus costume. You could put on the Jesus costume, and that's when you multiply the bread and say yes.
Ooh, yeah.
That's happened to me a good bit, though. But I don't know, Adrian, how would you respond? Let's say you brought in
Are you bringing in JJ's, or what are you bringing in? Some Duke's
and Fanta? Adrian, you can't just imply that you brought enough for his wife. All your rebuttals can't be that you're fucking their wife.
Let's say you brought in, well, let me look up the name of this place. Some Polo Campero.
Pollo Campero?
Pollo Campero. You got it.
Look at Adrian. He knows Spanish. It's pollo, not polo.
Oh, yeah. Spanish kid. All right. You bring enough for all of us, though?
I will happily share my food with you guys if you are hungry, because I'm a good person.
That's great, because my wife just divorced me this morning. She took all the food.
Oh, that's, you know what? I think you need some fried chicken, brother. I think that's what you need in your life. This will heal the spot.
Why do you say I need fried chicken?
You're white.
It's a white guy who gets his stereotypes mixed up. Okay, this one is not really a joke, but it's something you could flip at an office to make it funny. And I think a lot of people have already did this online, but the classic email signature intro, I hope this email finds you well. How do you feel about that? Do you have a different version of that? Do you have one?
Riding me like a Confederate soldier's wife ass. What you doing with your life?
I've seen the classics on Instagram where I was like, I hope this email sucks you off. I've seen that a lot. That's always
okay, that seems pretty up your alley. I can see it makes it does, the one yeah, joke like, you like making.
My algorithm knows me.
I hope this email finds the baby that's stuck in a well.
I hope this email brought some food for everybody. combine all the work. Oh, that's what we gotta do. We have to combine every work joke into one. No,
we really don't. You say that like we have
yeah,
to.
Yeah,
really
we don't. Do.
Oh, Adrian has no zest for life. When he saw a Coke Freestyle machine, he's like, I'm gonna pick one flavor. I don't need to combine
them
all.
I get a cherry vanilla Coke Zero. So I hope this email finds you well. I guess I have said that sometimes. A lot of times, I hope this email. I hope this email finds you in good spirits. And then I start flirting like Tim Burton.
Ooh, I hope this email finds you well, and I hope I find the love of my life tonight, this Friday, my improv show, just me. Tickets $75. Three drink minimum, all drinks cost $75 as well. I'll see you there. And that's the whole email.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, I like that.
Okay. A lot of people at work on a Monday, if they like mess up something or they're like kind of buffering, you know, they'll be like, oh, I got Monday brain. You think there's a better way to say that?
Yeah, you got donkey brains. Let's just say what it is. You don't got Monday brains. You got mush for brains. I don't know how you work here. I don't know how you drove yourself here. I don't know how you clothed yourself and put on clothing this morning. I don't know how you put a spoon up to your fucking fat mouth and ate your breakfast.
Yeah, at this point, like, Adrian is like 50 feet, sitting 50 feet away from me, but he's yelling this. Like, how'd
no, I'm
you
poking
even hear
him
me
at
say?
His chest. I'm like,
okay, walking out of the bathroom after a very long time, except for saying Monday. Okay. I have Monday butthole.
Okay, yeah, I do need a line for when I take a long time in the bathroom.
There we go. See, if you take other work jokes and just put them in different places, that would be so much better. Like, except for Monday brain, I got Monday butthole.
What would you guys do for when you're a cashier and something won't scan, and so the person says, must be free?
Yep, that was actually on that Reddit thing. Yeah, must be free.
Yeah, that happened a lot of Trader Joe's.
I would say, are you fucking serious? And I would like, I would say, I quit. And then I go to whatever they were purchasing, get like 60 of them.
I'm rich.
I'm rich. I think the idea of taking somebody very seriously when they tell one of these jokes is a pretty like, I think it's a good plan A, you know, for your rebuttal.
What do you do? Because something tells me you don't do that. Something tells me you just fake an awkward laugh and go on with your day.
No, I always take them very seriously. Like, for example, working at customer service, or now, I mean, I still kind of work in customer service because I take phone calls every now and then, whether it's with coworkers or employers. And sometimes at the end of the call, I'll be like, hey, is there anything else I can do for you? And they're like, or I can get for you? And they're like, yeah, the winning lottery numbers.
Yeah.
Yep,
okay.
Yeah.
Like, do people really say shit like that? I'd be we could have been off this call right now if you hadn't said that dumb shit.
I'm always like, yeah, I do actually. You're not around anybody, are you? And I'm always like, 69.
6'7".
Is there anything else I could do for you? For real, man? Because I did need a ride to the airport tomorrow.
And I needed some sloppy toppy on the way there.
That reminds me of like Detroiters during like that person's funeral. He goes up to like the husband of the deceased and he's like, hey, if you ever want to, you know, like talk or just hang out, let me know. And he's like, all right, this Monday. Like they have to hang out on Monday. It's so funny. Okay, let's talk about some of the jokes that Zalata hears on the floor she works at. Now, a little bit about Zalata. She works at a hospital, and she works in labor and delivery, so she delivers babies. There's one joke that actually happens, like, during labor, where, like, she's like, I've never heard this before, but it made me laugh a lot. The other night, it was her and this other nurse helping this person deliver a baby, and it's like hours of labor, obviously, and the person is screaming, and then they'll just stop for a little bit, and they'll scream again, they'll stop, you know, going through contractions, and while they were stopping, one of the nurses was like, so this is what you do for fun on Friday nights? And Zalata just like lost it. I was like, that is a pretty funny joke. I was like, I can't make that better. That's so funny.
That's pretty funny.
That is good.
Apparently the patient didn't find it that funny, but I think that's very funny.
Yeah.
Zalata gave me a classic. When somebody asks her, how's it going? Or when she asks somebody, hey, how's it going? They'll often say, you know, living the dream, or another day in paradise, or it's going. These are all typical responses. You need a cool, creative response when somebody asks, how's it going?
Mm.
My wife divorced me this morning. No, we can't keep saying that.
You think you should lean into being like a southerner and come up with those like fun Texan style sayings? You should be like, couldn't sling a cat around here and hit a bad day.
Hmm.
Dude, honestly, I like where you're going, Paul, because maybe a lot of people working for the state of California are not from the South. So Adrian could just kind of gaslight into thinking these are real phrases from the South, and he can get away with saying the most offensive things ever.
Keeping it all together like molasses on a June bug.
Mm.
I love that. Hey, man, just trying to get my dick out of these pancakes.
Yeah, classic Southern shit.
No, because if you say that and they're offended, be like, oh, it's a Southern thing. I know y'all are from California.
Yeah.
California.
Dick is what we
California
call a fork.
Love. We make love to pancakes, baby.
And then you sing all of California. Love California.
Oh, my God. That's a good response. It has it going. It's like, oh, just love California. I'm all about that. California love. Yeah, love. And then you sing the whole song. And
then like, we try to walk away and
be
like,
wait, I'm not done.
I think we're just writing Tim Robinson sketches at this point. He's just the most uncomfortable person in a workplace trying to sound cool.
Well, butter my biscuit.
All right. Let's see. Oftentimes, while a nurse is checking the blood on a patient,
and this will likely happen to me. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Often. You know what? These are not going to be. Really applicable towards your job. We'll do one more nursing one just to see if there's any way that a nurse can make this better. But checking the blood of a patient. And I'm sure Zlata is going to write better jokes than us. But she says she hears nurses a lot say while they're checking blood, just checking how sweet you are.
I'm diabetic.
Yeah, that's actually really rude to say to Adrian.
That's a good rebuttal. I like that. I'm diabetic. And my wife just divorced
me this morning. My rebuttal game crazy.
Okay. Typical one at a restaurant. The server asks, how was the food? And you have an empty plate.
Oh, you say, I hated it. And then you have the empty plate.
Yeah. Yep.
You say, I hated it, obviously.
Obviously.
Oh no, if you have the empty plate, you can't do the, I hated it. You got to do the, can I get a box for this?
Oh,
no, that's what I say when I'm eating pussy.
Hey, that's my joke. Listen, I want to go on record and say that's my genius joke that I haven't showcased yet. And I was thinking about saying it, but I was like, no, I still don't know if it's appropriate to look up and be like, can I get a small box?
How would that work on stage? Or are you thinking about bringing that out the next time you have sex? You're like, I haven't figured out if I can say it in the bedroom.
It depends how kooky this next girl is, you know?
She's going to be kind of kooky.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I've tried to, like, I haven't done it on stage, and it's one of those things where, like, I don't know if I want to say that out loud into a microphone.
Well, the thing is, you were stealing my joke, which is when you eat a girl out, and then you, at a certain point, you just kind of back up and go, and live from New York, it's Saturday night.
You're right. I was doing that with multiple partners, and they did not enjoy it. All right, my big fact, no cap.
Adrian, are we wrapped up? Do you feel like you're ready for going to the office some jokes?
No, not at all. I'm sure I'll figure it out.
We trained you perfectly. This was like a
dude. Honestly,
this was like
I feel
a Rocky Creed montage of teaching you how to work.
You're playing a J. Cole song this whole time.
Honestly, Adrian, you walking out of the bathroom after a long shit and somebody's waiting for you and you say, I have Monday butthole, that is god tier of a joke. Like,
you should do that.
I would request PTO for the rest of the day if I heard that joke, but I gotta go home and just rethink my stand-up routine because that is the best joke I've ever heard. Okay, wait, one more thing before we get to Big Fact No Cap. I do want to say there was a joke that Christian heard recently, and it was like, I was on speakerphone with him, so I heard the person say this, and we both busted out laughing. It's such a typical, I don't even know if it was a typical joke, but it's like such a lighthearted joke that's I don't know. Okay, he was at a fast food restaurant. He was ordering food, but he kind of stumbled upon like an item on the menu. He wasn't, or like he stuttered when he was trying to say it. And the cashier was like, uh-oh, buffering. And I just busted out laughing. I was like, yo, she just got your ass. Good. And Christian even could have stopped laughing. I was like, Christian loading.
Damn, that Bojangles AI got his ass.
Buffering. I say that to them all the time. Computing thoughts right now. overloading with data. System malfunction. All right. My big fact, no cap, is hey, everybody can't go. I'll let you in if the big guy told me you can't go. Everybody can't go though, all right?
And my no cap is, work sucks, I know. She left me roses by the stairs.
I thought it's work sucks, I know. Monday, butthole.
Butthole. Yeah, that's what it is.